So we're going to go back and look at the raw and the standardized models. We're going to focus on the difference between the different kinds of information that we have. We're going to look at the patterns of agreement and disagreement between bivariate and multivariate, which is really important. Because whenever you start running fancy models, one of the questions you have to ask yourself is it worth it to drag the readers through this complicated description of things? Is a simpler description sufficient? Is it carrying the useful information? Am I lying if I make the story simple? Remember, parsimony is not tell the simplest story. Parsimony is tell the simplest story that isn't a lie. Sometimes the story is complicated and you have to give yourself over to it. But especially when you're working with certain audiences, if everything you care about is in the bivariate, the multivariate may be something that you keep home and love in quiet. Suppressor variables, collinearity, some surprises, and then a mention about missing data, which is going to become particularly important as we move forward. So here's our friend, the multiple regression model. B represents the unique and independent contribution. If it's quantitative, in what direction and how much does y prime change when x1 changes by 1? If it's binary, that change in 1 is changing from one group to the other. And so it is often helpful to the reader to talk about group differences instead of scores increasing by 1. Not always, but most of the time. And A may make a little more sense now. It's the expected value of the criterion if all predictors have a value of 0. In other words, if the predictors all suck, right, because regression weights are 0, we're back to univariate prediction. Univariate prediction is estimating everybody will have the mean. So A will be the mean of Y, which is our best univariate Y prime. How are we doing? All ties together. All right, probably the next one is the standardized formula. All the same stuff, only now in Z-score units, standard deviation units. Particularly useful when we either don't know or don't care about the scale of the variables, then thinking in terms of standard deviation and how those standard deviations spread out across the normal curve can be a helpful way of doing it. Also, the betas are nice because they're the basis for comparing the relative utility or the relative importance of the different predictors. So here's all the stuff we have at this point. Yes? Yeah, it's funky. Because the z-score difference isn't probably 1. And so that's the one that is least useful. Yeah. Here's all kinds of stuff we have. These are the 5 things that we know about right now. We've got a simple correlation. Tells the direction and strength of a linear relationship between the two variables. R equals beta for bivariate models. We've got the raw score bivariate weight, and we've got the standardized bivariate weight. We've got the raw square multivariate and the standardized multivariate, and the difference between the corresponding bivariate and multivariate is the tagline holding the value of all the other predictors constant. One tells us how are these two related, pretending for a moment that they're the only two variables in the universe. The other one says, how are these two related, pretending for a moment that the variable, that the other variables in the model are the only variables in the universe. Yes, there's a lot of pretending that goes on here. Okay? And that pretending has a fancy word. It's called underspecification. Think how dramatically underspecified any bivariate model is. Okay, literally what you're saying is there's only two variables operating in the entire world. This was a great idea coming out of beautifully controlled laboratory experiments, where for all intents and purposes, for those data taken from that highly controlled experiment, there were only two variables operating. When we drop that nice little model of, I should say, accurate model of a nice little situation into our normal realities, which are multivariate, we're fudging. Okay? And that's why multivariate models tend to be better than bivariate models. We're fudging less. And hopefully, we're fudging less importantly by putting the major players into the regression model. Those variables that have the greatest impact on, causally, ought to be those variables that have the greatest utility as predictors, and if we can get them into the model, then our underspecification is less important and we're lying less. This is all about avoiding lies that someone else notices. So what influences these things? What pushes around these values? Let's start with the bivariate. Bivariate correlation is influenced by the strength of the linear relationship with the criterion. Since that's what we're looking at, it's nice to know that it influences it. You got to remember that sampling problems are going to disrupt the utility of our statistical model to describe our population. This all goes back to the first couple of days in 941, or whoever taught you research methods. If the sample sucks, the model based on the sample does too. So just sort of a constant reminder that we are stuck with the quality of our data. Raw score regression weights. Influenced by the strength of the linear relationship with the criterion, good news. Always sampling problems. But now, the scale difference between the predictor and the criterion. The word predictor disappeared there. Scale differences between predictor and criterion push around that B, and that we've talked about. You get a different B predicting GPA from GRE than predicting GRE from GPA. They're related the same, so the only thing to push around those regression weights is the scale difference. When we talk about standardized beta weights, now we see that the scale differences part drops out because for a bivariate model, R and beta are the same value. When we move up to multivariate models, the raw score, strength of the linear relationship with the criterion, that makes sense. That's what we're always hoping for. Collinearity with the other predictors. Well, we've seen the Venn diagrams, we've seen the pictures, you'll see more. If a bunch of variables are related with each other, then not all of that variable has a unique contribution to Y. So we have to make the distinction between correlated with and makes a unique contribution to understanding when we move from bivariate to multivariate. Scale differences. This is why when we're predicting GPA, GRE predictors had little bitty tiny regression weights. It isn't that they aren't important, it's that the scale of GRE is so much larger than the scale of GPA, and now we had multiple of them. Okay, you start adding those things up, you get huge means, and we gotta drag those means and that standard deviation down to the right scale. And always, sampling problems. When we move from raw score to standardized weights, notice that scale differences drops out, and it's just strength and collinearity. Sampling problems. The difficulties of determining more important contributors. B is not very useful because scales differences produce B differences. Beta works better, but is influenced by sampling variability and measurement influences. I suggest you only interpret substantial beta differences. Don't tell me that a 0.15 sucks and a 0.20 is a huge contributor. Look for substantial differences.
Are beta and R calculated differently?
Not for a bivariate, no. Well, I can give you different formulas that will get you to the same number.
Are they using different formulas though?
One's a beta-like formula. One's a B-like formula that then takes standard deviation into account. And the other is what you're used to for correlation. I mean, I can give you a formula that looks like a B formula that produces a beta that looks different than the formula for a correlation. But they get to the same place.
With the beta, how does range restriction impact it? Because I thought by standardizing it, we got rid of all the problems with range.
You get, okay, range restriction isn't what's the standard deviation.
Okay.
It's whether the standard deviation in the sample is less than the standard deviation in the population. And we're going to talk about that. Sometimes I put stuff on the slide we haven't talked about yet because when you come back and read this afterwards, I don't want you looking for stuff in multiple places. Here's the first version. Here's the real version. That shit's more confusing than ignore that line for now.